the whole premise of the podcast as well is like, it's an information source rather than me trying to divulge. Yeah. It's nothing like that. It's more for me, like, to help not just other people with their businesses, but it also helps me with my business.
Yeah.
I also like doing...
just learning more.
Yeah, well, just learning about, like, more about what PTs are doing out there, because I've been in the game for about 10 years now or more. Yeah. So when new people come along, and especially when I saw all your stuff, I just found it really interesting because it was so specific to diabetes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This episode is with a lovely lady called Daria. She's founded the business T1 Level Fitness, which is an online business specifically aimed at type 1 diabetics to assist them with nutritional advice, training advice, and just moderation of insulin itself. But not restricted to type 1 diabetics, Daria is very knowledgeable on diabetes itself as a whole, and we get into quite an interesting discussion about how she come up with the business and what she intends to do moving forward. Very useful for people obviously with the condition themselves, or if you know someone with it. And then of course other PTs, I found it quite useful just for my own personal knowledge. So check it out, guys. I really hope you enjoy it. And if you do, please hit like and subscribe to keep up to date with everything else that I do, both PT wise and sports massage wise. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
I listen to like one diabetic podcast, mm-hmm. Phil Graham's podcast.
Oh, right, yeah.
And James Smith podcast.
So there's actually a diabetic podcast out there.
Well, there is, yeah. It's called the Juice Box Podcast. I can mention it because it's mega useful. Like, I learned everything from there.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's where I think it's useful as well, because so your business itself, like T1 Level Fitness, so I even got up the website. Which, did you do the website yourself?
Yes, I did do it myself, but like my friend sort of tweaked it. He's a graphic designer, or he just knows how to do it.
They're good to know, graphic designers, because I did mine on my own, and it's nowhere near. It doesn't look anywhere near as professional as this.
But
this
I looks like. Really I good. Also did photography, so I've done a website before for that,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like I've had experience doing it before, so it's
right.
Like.
So there's this thing in with your marketing degree as well. Did you say you're doing marketing?
I do marketing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So this has totally come up on the side.
Totally, absolutely different, yeah.
Yeah, so why? How did you start this then?
Like my personal training side of it. I don't know, I was really confused of what to do. Like a year ago, my blood sugars were all over the place, had no idea what to do. Doctors kept telling me like random stuff that never worked. Then I went to PTs and I was like, I really need to gain some weight and want to get stronger. And they were like, yeah, we can give you like a lifting program, but you deal with your shit on your own. And I was like, yeah, right. But I think my diet is my problem. And if my blood sugars are not good, I don't know what to do with my diet. And
so the PTs didn't know?
No.
Right.
So I was like, okay, let's just go and qualify. And then this Juice Box podcast was a whole new world to me. Like it just opened up loads of doors.
Juice Box. I'm going to get on that.
It's run by a guy called Scott Benner, and his daughter is type 1 diabetic, and they just talk about diabetes. It's just literally like a conversational podcast.
That's exactly like my theory behind it. So all this now is a library of information for people to go on there and have a look. And so I have my newsletter as well, which I basically mm-hmm. just throw links to it. And then anything else that I find useful or that I've listened to, I throw that on the newsletter as well. So this is my website here. I wouldn't say I'm the most, like, I've got that the biggest nice. Eye for the creative side of it. But
the only thing I would do is, like, not have an image on the background, but have a plain thing on the background.
Yeah,
go on. Capital, 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 lowercase.
Yeah, yeah. The online coaching. So what do you provide in that part of your business?
Or
so
what are you trying to at provide? The moment, it's purely face-to-face approach. So I write a program just for the person, so a specialized program.
Yep.
I am currently doing like an eight-week program, which will be sort of an intro to fitness dash learn to manage your blood sugars with fitness. Mm-hmm. And that is why I need the like recording side of it. So I'm gonna do it as an audio thing. people right. will be learning how to manage it as well as actually physically doing it and yeah. being on the program.
I see.
I was hoping to launch it in January, but unfortunately, I probably just won't be able to do it. Like, mm-hmm. my work capacity is just a bit not there at the moment because uni, you know, and stuff.
Do you find that's probably the challenge is because it's so specific?
I don't know if it's a challenge or if it's a good thing because it's easier for me to funnel people down.
Yeah.
But then it's also harder for me to find, like, clients. And to be honest, you'd be surprised how many type 1 diabetics there are out there.
What's the percentage?
So the number of people with diabetes has risen from 108 million in 1980 to 422 million in 2014.
Yeah. Well, especially in America.
With the diet.
The diet is crap.
Well, I just watched, I think I told you, I watched that Game Changers film.
Yeah, yeah.
They speak a lot about how red meat is correlated with an increase in diabetes. But the problem with those studies is that they're not showing what people are eating in in conjunction with the red meat.
I am working with a guy now who is type 1 diabetic right. and he is on a carnivore diet.
Right.
Red meat, only meat, basically. And he is trying to completely get rid of his type 1
mm-hmm.
via this diet. And he actually thinks it's possible, which I'm doubting. But, you know, let him try. And there were studies that actually managed to reverse type 1 diabetes completely via this carnivore diet.
Really? So Michaela Peterson is the one who advocates this, the carnivore diet. Where she basically she had arthritis at a very young age and had both her ankle and hip replaced before the age of 18. She basically just cut out all foods. She found out that only red meat was the only thing that reversed everything for her. And so now she's pretty much symptom free. She's advocating this on like social media and whatnot, and nutritionists are going apeshit because they think it's just not going to be very good. And then, of course, you've got movies like The Game Changers and even What the Health, where
mm-hmm.
they're completely on the other end of it, saying that the carnivorous diet is going to be increasing saturated fat, so therefore increase cholesterol and all that sort of on that end of the spectrum as well.
I guess, you know, what my opinion is on this, we're all very personal mm-hmm. and there is no human being that is identical to another one. In terms of diabetic people, there's a bit of the same like division because there's this low carb whole like keto diet proclamation. Yes, they use insulin. Yes, it helps them maybe manage their blood sugars. Okay, awesome. But there's the other side, which is like a bit me.
Mm-hmm.
We eat like carbs of whatever sorts we want. We still use insulin and we manage our blood sugars
yep.
extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, most of us. but it's just two different sides of the coin. Like my opinion is, okay, I've got this disease, great. Let's say I go on a carnivore diet now, or a keto diet. I've never been on a carnivore diet.
Mm.
On a keto diet now. And in, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, I reverse my diabetes.
Mm.
Like, I've missed this 15 years of my life of not having and enjoying foods that I want to enjoy. You know, I'm a massive foodie.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't have type 1 diabetes. And potentially, if I start eating carbs again, I will get type 1 diabetes mm. again. What is the whole point of this?
And then I guess from like someone like Michaela's point of view is she was like in some sort of like excruciating pain and whatnot. And so she was either choosing between the pain or the meat. So that's really interesting. So when do you do in that podcast in January, did you say?
So it's not exactly a podcast. I'm thinking of it more as a course base.
Right.
So I was hoping to do it in January, but probably it's going to be March time.
Okay.
Now. Maybe April, March, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, and I meant the actual podcast with, was it the guy from America?
Oh, yeah, so we've already recorded it.
Oh,
we did it in, like, September, but it's going to be out in January.
Right. So your current training, so what's it based on?
So my current training is a bit of a mess because I'm preparing for this spin challenge fundraiser
right.
that I'm doing. So I'm doing 6 spin classes in a day.
In London?
In London, yeah, in different studios. So I've sort of like arranged with all of them to, they gave me free classes, bless them.
That's nice of them. Yeah.
Yeah, really nice. And just, yeah, sort of preparing my endurance for that.
Mm-hmm.
I train like an upper lower split
mm-hmm.
usually, but I'm also doing like, I do upper lower and then spin class and then sort of either a rest day or I just go straight up back into it.
Right.
And yeah, my rest hasn't been really great lately just because I don't feel like resting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. I know it's really bad and I need to be on it more. Yeah, but it's just heavy, like resistance-based training. And I do like quite a long warm-up because resistance training tends to bring sugars up.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like 15 minutes, maybe warm-up, maybe 10, depending on, 10 rarely, 15. And then I go into my resistance training. So it's either like volume training or heavyweight training.
So resistance brings the sugar up.
Yeah, because we, all of us, release stress hormones right. during resistance training, which yep. Are hormones that bring our blood sugars up. And if you don't have enough insulin in you at the time, you'll just be really high. And it's really bad to train with high blood sugars.
I see.
The reason why is because when you're training with high blood sugars, your muscle doesn't get the glucose. So you don't have the insulin's the key for your cells to get the glucose inside.
Yep.
If you don't have the insulin or enough insulin, you will just start eating your muscle mass.
Right.
Which is suboptimal, kind of.
Right.
Really bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, I'm trying to build muscle, so if you're trying to do that, it's just horrendous. At a 9, I'm already super thirsty, and 9 is actually like an okay blood sugar. So it's on the highest end.
Because you said it was between what and 9, was it?
It's between like 4 and 9.
Yeah.
They recommend to do it 5 to 9, I think, or maybe 5 to 8, I don't know. But for me, my range is like 4.5 to 7.5, so that's where I feel my best. I stay in range of 4 to 7.7, like 73%, 75% a day.
Right.
So today I can like show you. So I've been in range 86% today, but I had a little peak after breakfast and it went down a little bit because I did like a spin class here and then it dropped. Spin actually raises my blood sugars as well.
So that was
so what time? Here I got to spin. Yep. Here I started spin. It went up a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
But because I already had insulin in me, the insulin just continued working and the activity helped with it.
Right.
So it just crashed me. Well, no, it didn't crash me. I just went to like 3.4, which right. is okay.
So what did you eat?
I ate my favorite oats just because diabetes likes routine, as they say.
Yeah.
And I love oats, so I don't really care. But I know how to manage them really well. So
did you eat and jab? Or did you jab first?
I inject.
Inject.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I have to inject 40 minutes before my breakfast.
Right.
Which is insane. It's just insane. Like, it shouldn't be like that. But I'm just so resistant to insulin in the morning that I have to inject 40 minutes before. As soon as I kind of, like, get my insulin going in me as well, it's just I don't need as much of a pre-bolus, as it's called.
Yeah, the pre-bolus. I did see that on your on your website.
So bolusing is basically just injection of short-acting insulin, and pre-bolusing is just doing the short-acting before your.
That's right. So pre-bolusing. Yeah, right. That's what I read the other day, and it was highly technical. And as a PT, it's good for me to read these sort of things too, because like I don't get too many type 1 diabetics coming up to me personally, but at least I have something here that I could refer them to and even refer them to you for anything deeper or anything further.
I'm always really happy to just help people because I know how important it is to have good blood sugar management and how much difference it will make to your clients if they actually have good blood sugar control. Because I've been there. I know how horrible it feels and to be high all the time. And then to going into my kind of range, which is pretty hard to stay in, but it's just the quality of life is completely different. Like, I just used to feel lethargic all the time. I had crazy mood swings. I literally thought I was like, I don't know, I thought I had mental issues and I kept like trying to go to psychologists and shit, but just because when your actual problem isn't corrected, sort of masking it with psychological help is like, well, like, I don't know. It's just a completely separate thing. So I'm not getting rid of my actual problem. I'm just trying to mask it with something else.
Some of these meals are insane. I just can't stop looking. Did you cook these?
Yeah, I'm actually, like, I'm coming out with recipe cards, so it's in work in progress. That was sago pearls, so there's a thing called tapioca starch.
Right.
And that is, like, its close relative, basically.
I see. Because, yeah. Again, for me, meals are very, very simple. I just keep it really, really simple, whereas these actually look like they're quite nice.
These were, like, buffet meals, though, the ones on the sides.
The one on the left and right.
Yeah.
They're buffet meals.
Yeah.
All right. Buffet meals. Where'd you have those?
Back in Turkey, we went for like 5 days with my family.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
nice. That looks really good. Obviously, you want this business to grow, but like, where do you see it kind of potentially going if you can get the right sort of
resources? So I do want to keep it online.
Yeah.
And if I do start a face-to-face sort of clientele base, then I'll go just completely off type 1 because it's really hard to find a face-to-face type 1 base, like for it to be enough to kind of support myself.
I see.
And all of this I'm just going to keep online as it is. And if I get a job that allows me to work both on my online business and then work as part-time for another job, then I would definitely do that. Since I'm doing uni now as well, and another business, I've always like not stuck to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I am sorry for this.
That's okay. You just got to do it.
Because I know, like, as soon as I sit down, I just start shooting up. I also ate a cheesecake like an hour ago.
So. I was going to say, what have you eaten in the last hour? Right. So did that elevate?
Yeah. So I went from like 5 to 8, which is okay for now. And it should bring me down and up, hopefully. So
how long would that last? Like,
the injection.
Yeah, you jab and then...
So because I did just a half a unit, I'm super, super sensitive and I don't need much. That will last like maybe 2 hours. If I did more closer to like 2.5, maybe 3 or 5, that would be 4 hours or so. But like they have very different action profiles.
Diabetic Muscle and Fitness. This is
that's you? A group. No, that's not me. So it's Phil Graham's business that I'm working in.
Right.
But I just did a post in there, like, today, I think, about insulin action times. Is it catalfamol?
Catalfamol.
Catalfamol.
Yeah.
Catalfamol.
That's it. Got to say it with the proper accent as well.
Yeah, and with the hand.
With the hand. You got to go the hands.
Like this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a post about insulin action times, and it just has a good image on there that you can refer to for different insulin action times.
Oh, on the steps. I know. That's where I do my sprints.
Yeah, that post here.
Right, this post here.
So this is different insulins and how they work, basically.
Right.
So we've got different brands. So this one is the short-acting ones. This is, like, also pretty short-acting ones. So you can see it works 2 hours, but, like, actually it doesn't. It works a bit longer.
Right.
These ones are the long-acting insulins, and they work, you sort of, like, do them once or twice a day, and they work over a period of time.
I see. And so this would suit for different people, or?
Yes. So different people do better on different insulins.
Right.
But then also as diabetic care evolves, they sort of change and make the profiles a bit better. So more like the human insulin that you guys produce.
So is this all trial and error as well? You would find out which one would work best for you?
Well, your doctor is supposed to know what is best for you, but obviously it is trial and error because before you try, you never know. There are different techniques of using these insulins as well. So my long-acting insulin is called Levemir.
Mm-hmm.
It is an insulin that's injected either once or twice a day. I know a girl that does it only once a day and it works like wonders for her.
Right.
I have to do it twice a day because once is just not enough for me.
Does she exercise?
She does. She is also an online coach.
Right.
And also a type 1 diabetic online coach. And she's a bit like more muscly than me, so she's a bit bigger, and because she's got more muscle, I'm assuming she's even more sensitive than I am.
Okay.
So it's quite a good community, to be honest, because there are a lot of people on here, a lot of very nice diabetics as well, that it's just sharing your experiences with each other.
That's probably, for me, the one thing that
I'm trying to do myself is just share information about across the board as a PT rather than just specifically, you know, just training, just nutrition.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to give out as much information for everyone, PTs and the like. And someone asked me the other day, is like, what if someone else started a podcast? I'd be like, great. That'd be really, really good because then, you know, that's...
more people are sharing.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, we could all get on each other's podcasts and chat and see how Joe Bloggs does for his training and nutrition and what they do with their clients and so on and so forth. So for me, it's going to be a forever growing experience. The actual qualification here in the UK, I mean, did you do that? Which one did you do?
The NASM one.
So how many weeks?
3 months.
3 months.
And honestly, I don't think I learned anything there. I literally got the tick. That's it. I think that I know that I want to learn a lot more, so I'm trying to stick around people like yourself, like PTs. I communicate online with people that are training. I listen to podcasts, the fitness podcasts, obviously. Like, I read a lot on technique. Like every time I go into the gym and I'm doing a new or even an old exercise, I just watch like videos on technique, read about it. I'm interested in the diet side of it. I'm interested in the actual like muscle, what's it called? Like muscle, not muscle building, God. Like muscle shaping maybe?
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So your goals then for training, I guess...
Hypertrophic, muscle hypertrophy. I've always been quite slim. Not always. Well, I've had an eating disorder, which was anorexia.
Yeah.
Never diagnosed and never went to the extremes, hence never diagnosed.
Right.
But yeah, managed to come out of it kind of successfully, but still there are like guys sitting in the head that kind of disrupt my goals, really. But yeah, I'm upping my carbs now as well, partially because of the spin challenge, because I know I'll need a bit more food, but then I'm kind of planning to stay on a higher carb diet after that as well, just because I've done it before and I gained a bit of weight and I was really happy with that. Like I was actually a lot more energetic and I enjoyed life a bit more.
Yeah.
And training went a lot better too. So yeah, just planning to, not planning, I'm going to do it. planning to have my carbs and
cool.
So from Tuesday actually. So yeah,
from Tuesday.
Quite excited.
Carb loading.
Please keep me accountable to it.
Yeah, I will do. Will do actually. Yeah.
On my lifting days, I burn like 250 calories maybe. Which, I don't know. It's a bit low to me.
For just lifting.
Yeah.
That seems about okay. Maybe for a female of your build, your muscle.
Maybe yeah. Stuff like but that. Anyway, during ride today, I burned 400.
That's about right.
So it's like,
yeah,
it is pretty intense.
So how many minutes is it?
45.
400. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone's going to be different in the amount of calories they use up and whatnot. But 250, that seems about right for just resistance.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like, I'm pretty slim and I don't know. Yeah, maybe I just don't eat enough. That's why I don't burn as much calories as I should.
And perhaps as well, like, because the more muscle you have, the more calories you burn as well. Yeah, and exactly. Not to say that you don't have muscle, but you wouldn't have as much
hence
muscle.
Hence carb increase.
Yeah, exactly.
I am actually quite curious, like, what type of programming is your favorite one?
Programming for specific people?
Yeah.
Depends on the client, depends
on the
goal.
So, like, program sort of type, you know, like German volume or, I don't know, OPT, whatever.
I do use German volume training in some aspects. I use quite a fair bit of upper-lower, agonist-antagonist. A lot of the clients that I have, the goals are very similar. Increase muscle, decrease body fat. In some way, shape, or form, that's what most people want. If it's anything specific, it will still entail that sort of premise. So people say to me, they want to run a 10K and they want to get better at it. Okay, so what are we looking at here? You need to perhaps run a bit more, need to perhaps do a bit more resistance training, and perhaps maybe drop some body fat in certain areas in order to get more efficient at the running. So all those three things combined are going to entail that program. For me, it's human movement. So I'm a big believer in just getting the basics right. You're squatting, you're lunging, you're pressing, you're pulling.
Yeah.
There's a multitude of goals that people might have for, like, you know, getting better at playing netball, even if it's just a life goal like getting married. So I get a lot of females coming up to me, this is my dress, backless, sleeveless, around the hips, things like that. So we just work towards that. I don't know how women wear high heels, to be honest. Do you not wear them?
Not often, because I'm pretty tall. And like every guy I go next to, I'm like,
You're looking down on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of feet massages I give.
So another diabetic issue is neuropathy. So if your blood sugar is really bad, you can't stop feeling your like limb parts, the
extremities.
Like the extremities, basically. Really? Yeah. Okay. Which is a condition where you might get an operation to have your basically toes or legs removed or whatever.
Is that what when gangrene can form?
Well, yeah, kind of, because you don't have any blood flow to there. So if you get any like ucleuses, I don't even know how to correctly pronounce it.
What is it?
Ucleus or ucleus?
How's it spelled? Complications, cardiovascular disease.
So neuropathy is one of them.
So excess sugar. But
food damage. Why does it say the word, for fuck's sake?
Neuropathy?
Yeah, well, no, that's neuropathy, but there's a...
That's different. That's neuropathy, the top one, nerve damage. Kidney damage is nephropathy. I've read that incorrectly. Then
it's the food damage. Foot damage, sorry, food damage. Foot damage.
Foot damage.
It's basically like a blister, but it's a different name for it.
So Alzheimer's disease, type 2 diabetes, that runs in my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so my great-grandmother had dementia.
Okay.
Now my grandmother has it, and my mother now is a type 2 diabetic. So, so I've got to basically try and reverse that.
Have you, for yourself, you mean?
For her.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting her to apply certain principles so that way she can try and reverse some of the medication she's on. All this sort of information, I wouldn't know what. Not that I wouldn't know where to go, but you wouldn't know where to start, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So at least I know now that every person's different and I have a point of contact that I can,
I can send them over to. I'm happy to help.
All right. I think we can wrap this up. We've been going for about an hour. Thank you very much for this.
No, thank you. Like any time.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. And if there's ever a chance to do another one in the future, I'd be definitely up for it. Where can the people find it?
I am at T1 level /, or what's it called?
Underscore.
Underscore. Well, thank you. What's wrong with me today? I'm at T1 level _coach on Instagram or T1 level fitness on Facebook. And my website is T1 level, www.t1levelfitness.co.uk.
And I'll put up all the links anyway, and I'll make sure that everything goes towards it. I'll edit this, I'll send it to you, see if you like it. It should be really good because the conversation flowed pretty nicely.
Yeah, except for me forgetting like a ton of words.
That's great. That's the best part about it. Sweet. That was really good. Thanks very much for that.
Nice. Cool.
High five. Awesome work. Cheers.